Good morning. That was a little weak. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made, and the people said.
Amen.
Today we're reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, page 829 in the Pew Bible. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hand, his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So now, here we are, celebrating the glory and the joy of the resurrection. Some 2 weeks removed from Easter, that day in which we celebrated that the grave was not the final word. Death had been swallowed up in victory. That Jesus, although he died, on that third and glorious day, rose again. And so, as a result of Easter and celebrating it this past Sunday, we are now in Eastertide. And that means for 50 days we celebrate the glory and the joy of Easter all the way up until Pentecost, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, the falling down of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promises to us in John chapter 14. But here we are at this story, the story that comes around time and time again, year after year, doubting Thomas. And we hear those famous words that give Thomas his moniker, Doubting Thomas. Verse 25, which say, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Those words have forever dubbed poor Thomas, thousands of years later, as Doubting Thomas. But I'm here today to give Thomas a little bit of a break. I'm going to cut him some slack today. You know what? I think that Thomas gets a bad rap. And so I'm going to tell you 2 reasons why I believe Thomas gets a bad rap, and you all will have to decide for yourselves. So at the end of this message, you'll have to see whether or not you agree with me that Doubting Thomas gets a bad rap. So here we go. The first reason. The first reason I believe that Doubting Thomas gets a bad rap, because doubt is not always a bad thing. I want to give you the dictionary definition of doubt. It is to be uncertain about something, to consider it questionable or unlikely, hesitate to believe. You see, there's something interesting, I think, about this definition of doubt. It's not that doubt closes the door to our inquiry, but in fact, doubting actually opens up our inquiry. You know, there was something I read in one of my devotional Bibles about Doubting Thomas that really spoke to me about doubt. My devotional Bible said, sometimes it's actually good to doubt. There are certain things that we ought to doubt, like gossip, false prophets, false information. And our court system even starts with doubt. People are innocent until they're proven guilty. And also, without doubt, there are a lot of important things that we understand about the world that we wouldn't understand unless there was doubt. Without doubt, we believe that the world was still flat. We still believe that the sun revolves around the earth, and that the earth is the only planet in our solar system. Just to name a few things. But you see, there's an important thing that we need to understand about doubt. You see, if doubt is left alone, it's pretty useless. If we don't do anything with the doubt that we have, if we don't further the inquiry, then doubt avails to nothing. But if we make use of our doubt, we get to understand a lot about the world. If we use our doubt to seek out and find out for ourselves, then we can discover amazing things. So I want you to hold on to that particular thought as we're going to revisit it in just a little bit. Now I think it's important for us to go to our scripture today. And you're going to see now the second reason why I believe Thomas gets a bad rap. So let's start verse by verse. We're going to go to verse 19. It says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" So first of all, I think it's noteworthy that the doors were locked for two reasons. First of all, it's noteworthy that the doors were locked because the disciples have some really good news to share, don't they? They've seen the resurrected Jesus. They know that he rose from the dead. They heard it first from the women, and then the disciples have heard it. And so they're supposed to be spreading this word far and wide, aren't they? They're supposed to be shouting it from the rooftops that Jesus has risen from the dead. But where are they? They're locked inside of a room because they're scared. They're afraid because the Jewish leaders and officials know what's going on. They know about this Jesus rising from the dead, and so there's a lot of panic. There's a lot of fear going on amongst the Jewish religious leaders of the time because they're worried that it's going to upset the order of things. It's going to upset the apple cart of all the life that was going on there. And so the disciples knew they were in deep trouble, and so they were hiding until the heat got a little less hot in the town. And so first of all, they were locked behind closed doors. But yet Jesus came to them just the same. Jesus was able to pass through those doors in his spiritual presence, and he gave them the greeting, "Peace be with you." And after he greeted them, verse 20 says that he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus gives them the commission. He says, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and said, "Receive it. For if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And so you see, Jesus is telling them that you're going to have to get out of those locked doors. You're going to have to spread this word. People are going to have to know far and wide that Jesus came to save us from our sins. And the disciples are supposed to be those representatives sharing and spreading this word. Jesus gave them a commission to share the good news. But now enters Thomas. Verse 24, I think, is pivotal to why I think Thomas gets a bad rap. Let's listen carefully to verse 24. It says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus," which is a word that means twin or twofold in Greek, and it says, "one of the 12, Thomas, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." I think that's important. Let me read that one more time. Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came. You see, Thomas shouldn't be called doubting Thomas, but Thomas should be called absent Thomas. He wasn't there. He didn't get to see what the other disciples got to see. And so he feels cheated, right? Wouldn't you feel cheated if all the other disciples, all your other friends that you've been hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, got to experience the resurrected Christ for themselves, to witness it themselves? They got to see it. But Thomas didn't. And so obviously he wanted that same blessing too. Wouldn't you if you were one of the disciples? And so Thomas, who I think was speaking a little bit in hyperbole. I think he was exaggerating a bit. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. But honestly, I don't think it was an unreasonable request to see what the other disciples had already seen for themselves. And so the scripture tells us that for a week, Thomas had to sit on his doubts. But here were those disciples in the same place, in the same house. In verse 26, it says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, I guess they were still scared, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And see, Jesus had heard the scuttlebutt. He knew what Thomas had been saying. And so he says, put your fingers here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. You know, the scripture doesn't tell us whether or not Thomas took Jesus up on his offer of touching the wounds. But I have a funny feeling that Thomas didn't actually touch anything. I think him seeing Jesus for himself was enough. And so he exclaimed, my Lord and my God. Thomas finally got it. He finally got to receive this blessing all the other disciples had received. But you see, Thomas, I think, was audacious enough. Thomas had enough faith, interestingly enough, ironic twist here, to ask for what he wanted, to ask for this blessing. And so he received it. However, now I'm going to get back here maybe a little bit. I'm going to backtrack just a little about doubting Thomas. Jesus did admonish him for his request. He said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe. You see, the truth of the matter is that not all of us will receive this blessing. Not all of us will get to see, at this point in time anyway, the wounds in Jesus' hand inside. You see, our understanding of God is vast and infinite. The Bible reveals to us a great deal of information about God, but yet, in many ways, it just touches the surface. God is already, always and forever, performing miracles and signs and witnesses throughout the world. Jesus didn't stop being present in the world when the last book of the Bible was written. He's always and already at work. You see, our own inquiry, our own understanding of God can only take us so far. Eventually, we do have to take a leap of faith. Our own knowledge, our own understanding can only bring us to a certain point. Eventually, we do have to take that leap. And Hebrews 11 and verse 1 reminds us of this important truth. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so I think maybe in this circumstance, in this reason, he might have been worthy of that moniker, Doubting Thomas. But I think that Thomas maybe should more accurately be dubbed Inquiring Thomas. He always wanted to know. He always wanted to seek understanding. I want to share with you two other instances of Thomas. In John chapter 11, Jesus hears about Lazarus' death. And so the disciples think that Lazarus is just sick. And so they're kind of talking amongst themselves saying, well, maybe Jesus can get there soon. Maybe he could get there before he died, but yet he wasn't able to. Lazarus has already died. And Jesus tells them plainly in John 11 and verse 14, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And so the disciples, along with Jesus, are to go to Judea to do something about Lazarus. Jesus says that he can raise him from the dead. The disciples aren't quite sure. But they really don't want to go to Judea because Judea's a really dangerous and violent place. It's a place where a lot of bad things happen. And so Thomas, being the skeptic that he is, and maybe even a little bit of a smart aleck, said, let us also go, that we may die with him. But yet he was willing to go, even though he was hesitant, even though he was skeptical. Thomas went. And then in John chapter 14, when Jesus explains what he'll be doing when he'll die and rise again, when he explains that the Holy Spirit will come and always dwell with them, Jesus tells them in verses 3 and 4, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas says to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus replies, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him." You see, each and every time Thomas asked the question, no matter how much of a smart aleck he was blessed as a result. You see, because Thomas was willing to inquire, because Thomas was willing to ask the right questions, then he received a blessing as a result of them. He was audacious enough to trust in God enough to ask the questions, to want to know. It's okay for us. It's okay for us to seek understanding and knowledge. That's part of the Christian pursuit, that we are called to do that. Jesus even tells us to do it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 10, Jesus says this on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" You see, Thomas asked, and he received. If we ask for God's blessing, if we ask for the knowledge, if we ask for God's love to shine brighter in our lives, then God will give it to us. If we're willing to ask, if we're willing to have faith the size of a mustard seed, if we're willing to ask the right questions, then God will bless us for it. You see, despite the fact that Thomas was a bit of a skeptic, through it all, he kept walking with Jesus. Through each and every doubt, through each and every challenge, he still kept walking with Jesus. And that's the key. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to not understand. But through all of that, we have to keep walking with Jesus. We have to keep walking beside him. And if we do, and if we ask, we will be blessed. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are human beings. Heavenly Father, we are a people who don't always understand. We don't have all the knowledge that you have, O God. We know that you are infinite. We know that you are vast. We know there's so much more to you than we can ever comprehend. And so, we will ask questions. We won't always understand. As Thomas was bold enough to ask for a blessing, let us do the same. Lord, let us ask to see you. Let us ask for your presence. Let us ask, O God, for your Holy Spirit power, for your light and love. And so, Heavenly Father, help us to have faith just the size of a mustard seed, that we might move mountains through you and in you. And so, O Holy God, come into our hearts. Fill us with your presence. Help us to never cease to ask and to talk to you. And let us never cease to walk beside you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.